Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
We are talking today. Could you give me Matthew 1:21? We're going to look at that. And she, meaning Mary, will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. We are looking at this, and like I said, God spoke this in Revelation 13 about Jesus' birth. Before he even created the earth. That's amazing. You can look that up. There's Revelation 13:8. So we're talking about the gospel, the birth of Jesus. That's what Christmas is all about, the birth of Jesus. We look at this word gospel, and it means good news. And news is something that's already taken place. It's already happened. So the gospel is really all about something that has already taken place, already happened. Catching that? Good advice is about what you have to do. You see that? Let's look at this. So this means this is real. What Jesus is talking about, what Matthew's talking about, he's talking about the birth of Jesus here. And we're going to look at the first verse of Matthew there. And we're going to read that here in a few minutes. But now listen to me. Advice is counsel about what you must do. News is a report about what has already been done. And that's what the gospel is. It's about what's already taken place. Advice urges you to make something happen. News urges you to recognize something that has already happened and to respond to it. Advice says it's all up to you to act. News says someone else has acted. That's good news. So, Jesus has already done his part. God has done his part. Now, with that in mind about good advice and good news, I want you to pay attention. I got this story from Timothy Keller's book, and I really liked it. So I want to read this to you. Let's say there's an invading army coming to Sydney, and they're equipped to wipe Sydney off the map. What Sydney needs is military advisors. It needs advice. Someone needs to explain how war works, and how to dig trenches, and how to place marksmen and snipers and tankers around the city. But what if, you listening to me? What if a king has intercepted and defeated the invading army? In other words, a king has already defeated them before they got to Sydney. What does the city need now? It doesn't need military advisors. It needs messengers. And the word messenger is the word angelos in the Greek, and it means angel. And that's who brought the good news of Jesus' birth, was an angel of the Lord. Now listen, the messengers do not say, here's what you have to do. They say, rather, I bring you glad tidings of great joy. In other words, stop fretting, stop fleeting, and stop running. Stop building forts and fortificational buildings. Stop trying to save yourselves. The king has already saved you. Something has been done, and it changes everything. Matthew's gospel narrative is not telling you what you should do, but what God has already done. Amen? The birth of the Son of God into the world is a gospel of good news. It's an announcement that you can't save yourself. We cannot save ourselves. And we just read that Jesus will save his people from their sins. He didn't say he's going to save everybody from their sins. He said his people from their sins. You got to be his people to get saved from your sins. You don't save yourself. God has come to save you. All right? Now, let's read this genealogy. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ. That's what Matthew's talking about in the first chapter. I used to go to what they call Declaration Day, my dad, where my dad was raised in Virginia. And every year we'd go the first Sunday of June, and they called it Declaration Day. And we'd go to this big graveyard on the side of this mountain, and all these graves, and they had their dates on them. And we would talk about these people in my family that had passed on, and things they had done and things they had accomplished. It was like this genealogy, you know, going over all your ancestors and talking about them. You really learned a lot. I was intrigued with that, hearing about my family and things that they've all been through and what they had done. But this is a type of what Matthew is doing here. Look what he says. This book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, this is exactly what has happened. You see that? This is not a fairy tale. This is not a once upon a time story. This is exactly what has happened. This is the genealogy of Jesus. And this is what we have to understand. The son of David. The son of David. Isn't that amazing? King David is who he's talking about. The son of Abraham. Abraham, you paying attention? Abraham begot Isaac. Isaac begot Jacob. And Jacob begot Judah and his brothers. Judah begot Perez, and Zerah begot Tamar. Perez begot Hezron, and Hezron begot Ram. Boy, that can get boring, can't it? Still paying attention? It's not going to stay boring. I want you to listen. Ram begot Amminadab. Amminadab begot Nahshon, and Nahshon begot Salmon. Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse, and Jesse begot David, the King David. Boy, you want that in your ancestral genealogy? The king. We got royalty up in here, right? Now look, the king begot Solomon. Who? Solomon, by her who had been the wife of Uriah. Now think about this. Solomon begot Rehoboam. Rehoboam begot Abijah, and Abijah begot Asa. Now, we're going to stop there. It keeps going, but these are the ones I want to start with to talk about today. So, this is significant. Matthew is starting his gospel with genealogy, the truth about Jesus Christ. Something we need to consider is the culture in which Matthew was living and writing. Today, we live in an individualistic culture in which you promote and recommend yourself. You see, I've done resumes. I've helped people with resumes. I've written referral letters. And you always speak well of the people, right? You always. And that sometimes could be similar to a genealogy. Make sense? It is. A resume is very much like a genealogy. It tells you what they've accomplished, where they've been, where they came from, all that. And that's what you do. You put all your accomplishments on your resume, your work history, your experiences, all your degrees. So your genealogy is a type of resume. In these times, it was your pedigree. These times that Matthew was writing in. You paying attention? In these times, it was your pedigree, your family, your tribe, your clan, the people you were connected to. This is what constituted your resume and your genealogy. So genealogy was really a way of saying to the world, this is who I am. And so this is what Matthew is documenting. This is who Jesus really is. Now you're going to get something out of this. Now watch this. In those days, people tweaked. They tweaked their resumes. You tweak it, you fix it so it doesn't say anything negative. See that? Now watch. They tweak their resumes much like we do today. We tend to leave out the certain parts of our track record that might not make us look good. People did the same thing in ancient times. So the purpose of a genealogical resume was to impress peers, onlookers, with the respectability and high quality of one's roots and ancestors. You see that? Now listen, Matthew's not concerned with this. Matthew doesn't seem to be concerned, but it is very much the opposite of how Matthew is documenting. I love the Bible. Don't you love the Bible? Because the Bible tells you just like it is. That's why you want to be in a Bible-believing church. And you want people to stand up like Debbie did and be real. And we heard from Johnny and Ashley last in the 9 o'clock service how God has brought them out of drugs and alcohol and all this promiscuity. And now they're serving the Lord and he's saving them from their sins. You see that? That's real. Are you with me? That's called reality. You can go to churches and they never want to even talk about that stuff. Folks, we need to talk about it. And that's what Matthew's telling us. He's telling us the truth. That's why I love me some Bible. The Bible's telling you the truth. Now look, there are five women that we talked about in what we just read. Five women listed in the genealogy. And in ancient patriarchal societies, listen to me, a woman was never named in such list. They wouldn't even name women because women were lower class. Are you with me? Let alone five of them, five women. Now look, you might call women gender outsiders, but in those cultures, yet they are in the genealogy of Jesus. Did you hear me? These five women are in the genealogy of Jesus. Why is that so important? You're going to hear me. Tamar, Rahab, and Ruth, most of them, were Canaanites and Moabites. They weren't even allowed in the tabernacle. They weren't allowed to worship in the presence of God. Moabites and Canaanites. Now watch. The Jews labeled these nations unclean. They were not allowed to enter a tabernacle. Not even allowed to come in. Much less worship. Now listen. We would call them racial outsiders. Yet they are in the genealogy of Jesus. Are you hearing me? Naming these women in Matthew, what Matthew is doing is deliberately recalling for his reasons some of the most nasty and immoral incidents in the Bible. Listen, when he says that Judah was the father of Perez and Zerah was the mother of Tamar, now watch. When you recall what happened, Tamar, listen to me, Tamar tricked her father-in-law, Judah, into sleeping with her. This was an act of incest. Everywhere in the Bible, that is against God's law. Now listen, even though Jesus was descended from Perez, not Zerah, it was out of this dysfunctional family that the Messiah, Jesus, came. Rahab, which we mentioned, was a prostitute and a Gentile, a Canaanite. Listen, King David in verse 6 is somebody you would want in your genealogy, royalty, right? You paying attention? Matthew adds, listen, David was the father of Solomon, whose mother had been Uriah's wife. David was getting ready to go to war and decided not to go to war. He sent his armies out and he stayed in his place and he watched Bathsheba while she bathed and he lusted after her and he sent to have her and he had his business with her. And then he had her husband killed so he could marry her, Bathsheba. Are you still with me? This is our Bible. Solomon was Bathsheba's son. Solomon, other than Jesus, was the wisest man on the planet. In Proverbs 31, it talks about how Bathsheba, the wife, taught Solomon the wisdom he understood. This is the one who had the business with David. She taught him the wisdom. If you read Proverbs 31, she's the virtuous woman. Her life turned around and began to serve God. She was repentive, just like David. Are you listening to me? Repentive, and she served God, and she is in the genealogy of Jesus. Are you catching this? It was out of this dysfunctional family and out of this deep, flawed man that the Messiah came, Son of David. You heard it. You read it in Matthew. Adulterers, adulteresses, incestuous relationships, even prominent male ancestors, Judah and David, were moral failures. We also have racial outsiders, gender outsiders, cultural outsiders. The law of Moses excluded these people from the presence of God. But now listen, yet they are publicly declared and announced in Matthew's gospel. They are acknowledged as the ancestors of Jesus. Well, I'd like to go to his graveyard on the side of the mountain every first Sunday of the month, June and June. Watch this. This shows us that people who are excluded by culture, excluded by respectability in society, even excluded by the law of God, can be brought into Jesus' family. It doesn't matter. Watch this. It doesn't matter your pedigree. It doesn't matter what you have done. Even if you have taken someone's life, if you will repent and believe in Jesus, he will save you from your sins. Only by the grace of God can you be covered of your sin and be united with Jesus Christ as your Lord. In ancient times, there was a concept, listen to me, called ceremonial uncleanness. If you wanted to stay holy, or respectable or good, you had to avoid contact with the unholy people. The unholiness was considered to be contagious. This is in the Old Testament. Listen. As it were, now watch this, they had to stay separate from the unholy if you want to be holy. Now look, but Jesus turns all this around. His holiness, listen, are you listening? His holiness and his goodness cannot be contaminated by contact with us. Rather, his holiness infects us by our contact with him. You can come to him regardless of who you are and what you have done. No matter how morally stained you are, he can make you white as snow. He says in Isaiah 1:18, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins were as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Even King David, who had all the world's credentials, he was a Jew, not a Gentile. He was royalty, not poor. Yet Matthew shows us he too can be in Jesus' family only by the grace of God. His evil deeds were worse than anything done by those women we talked about. Yet there he is, an example in the Bible of a man of God after God's own heart, because he was willing to repent and admit his wrong. It is not the good people who are in and the bad people who are out. Everyone is only in by the grace of God. Ephesians 2:7 says, "We are saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, lest any man should boast." You can only be saved by the grace of God. No other way. Are you with me? This is huge because he says he saves his people from their sins. Now, what's he mean by that? Everybody is God's creation, but not everybody are his people. You see, when you showed up on the planet, you were born in sin. Jesus said in John chapter 3, he said, "You must be born again to see the kingdom of God." He didn't say you should. He didn't say, if you consider this. He said, "You must be born again." What's that mean? That means spiritually, you are separated from God when you're born into this world because of the sin of Adam and Eve. You're separated from God. We've all fallen under sin. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The word death means separation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. We're talking about the greatest gift ever of all time is accepting Jesus for your salvation and Him saving you from your sins. Are you with me? It says in Romans 3:23, we've all sinned, all of us, and we all fall short of the glory of God. The word glory means what God originated and intended. We all fall short of what God originated and intended. How do we fall short? Sin. For we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When Jesus saves us from our sins, the glory of God, what He originated and intended, comes out of our lives. And we begin to see who we really are and why we're on this planet. He's going to show you the you you haven't met yet. This is the idea. This is the good news. This is what's really already taking place. That's the good news. So we're born into this world in contradiction to God. Psychologically, that's why there's so much mental illness in the world. That's why that's one of the number one problems in America. It's mental illness. Because people aren't going to God for the way they think. He said He hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. You see that? He's got everything you need to keep you sane in the membrane. Are you with me? And you're not going to have those issues because you're discovering who you are. Am I making sense? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He's wonderful means supernatural. He will supernaturally counsel you and show you who you are. So we're born into this world in contradiction to God, psychologically, sociably, spiritually, and physically. As we begin to follow Jesus and are saved, the word saved means to be made whole from many scattered parts. He starts to make our lives whole from being scattered. We're no longer disintegrating, disintegrated, disintegrating, but we are integrating. Integrity. We're becoming more integrated. Everything's working together psychologically, sociably, physically, and spiritually. And you're being made whole by His word. Are you with me? That's what's happening in the body of Christ, in the church. And that's what He does. He says this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. But we are bound to give thanks, verse 12 and 13. We are bound to give thanks for you, brethren, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which you were called by our gospel. For the obtaining of the glory, what God originated and intended of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, that's what He does. He calls you in the church. That's what the church is. It's the body of Christ. Christ is the anointed one, the Messiah. In His body, He calls you with His word to be who He made you to be. And it takes place in the church. Are you with me? He saves you from your sins. That's why I love these testimonies. This is what's going on in this church. People are being saved from their sins. And that's what He's doing. He's saving marriages. He's saving families. He calls people out of trauma. He calls people out of drug addiction. He calls people out of pornography. He calls people out of all those things to show you who you really are. And that's good news. It's already taking place. Oh, are you with me today? Now listen, He says, how shall they call upon Him whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe upon whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. I tell you what, I got some beautiful feet this morning. I'm preaching to you a gospel of peace. Peace means to be made whole. He wants to make your life whole, sound, and secure. He wants to save you from your sins. Makes me excited. I tell you, you look at how He got here. Man, there's nothing that can keep you out of Jesus. Are you with me? All that? Did you like that story? What He came out of? This is our Messiah. And so we can't hide anything. Amen. He wants it all to be out on the table. Reality. Amen. We're going to say a prayer. We're going to say a prayer. You know what? This is the birth of Jesus. This is what Christmas is all about. He came to save us, save his people from their sins. Now, how do you become his people? When you call on his name. For whoever calls upon the name of the Lord, how many? For whoever. Doesn't matter where you've come from. Doesn't matter. There's no distinction between the Jew and the Greek, between the black and the white, between the Baptist and the Methodist, between the Presbyterian and the Pentecostal. Amen. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. You call upon him. When you call upon him and you mean it, God's going to save you. It says in 1 Peter 2:9, it says that we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, his own special people, that we may proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Where once we were not a people of God, but now we have become a people of God. And where once we did not obtain mercy, but now we have obtained mercy. You see, he wants you to be a people of God. He wants you to be his people. It says in John chapter 1, verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of the will of man, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of blood, but of God, who were born of God. You see that? That's how you get in his family. You have to receive it. You have to receive him and believe it. This is what Christmas is all about. Now think about this. We're going to say a prayer. Maybe you just heard about our church. It doesn't matter how you got here. All that matters is if you call upon that name and you mean it. You see, because that's what he's doing. He's building his church. The church are the people. The people that the gates of hell will not prevail against. You see, when you're in his church, you're going to be an overcomer. Overcome what? Overcome all the stuff that's been dragging you down and trying to keep you from being who you are. And that's what he's calling us to. So we're going to say a prayer. Maybe you're here today and you feel like maybe you've drifted away from in your relationship with God. If you pray this prayer and you mean it, you're going to know I'm saved, because the Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. You have to get to know him. When you get to know him, you don't want anything else, because he's always telling you the truth. He's always helping you to see who you are. So I want you to pray this prayer with me. Just say, Father God, I know that I've sinned. I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I repent. I'm ready to change my mind. I believe, Lord Jesus, you died on the cross to save me from my sins. I believe you were buried, and I believe you rose again on the third day, that I would have life and have it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done for me. Now, by the power of the Holy Spirit, come into my heart and be the Lord of my life. Lead me and guide me into all truth. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I am saved. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Father, I thank you for those that have prayed that prayer for the first time, and those who are watching live stream that prayed that prayer for the first time. Lord, that those who are watching live stream, they can contact the church here at 341 West Russell Road. Only the truth and truthfulness
can save us. You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sidney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sidney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.